Okay, let me begin the recording. So today is Parshat Shmot. Welcome, everyone. Let me just mention some short items. There's one piece from the Drash for the Iyun. The Drash for Iyun says, "Vayasmu b'mod ba'od b'yakam el chadash." He says that there are two types of nisyono, two types of tests or difficulties in life. That a person gets tested in his emunah and his bitachon. One is nisayon ha'osher, one is the test of wealth. He says, because when you're wealthy, you really want to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the other is the test of poverty, and poverty also you want to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says that in Egypt that they had both nisyonot together. It says, "Uvnei Yisrael vayatzmu b'mon ma'od." So the Pshuto Shemaker in the beginning was strong, but he wants to say that they were, the Chazal ma'od is mamon, that they were very wealthy. He says, and also vayakam el chadash nidchashuk zirutav, they were impoverished by the sari misim, by these tax collectors. So that was both types of nisyonot that they had. All right, now there's a nice piece which I like. This is from Rabbi Yudalev Chasman. Or before I do that, there's another piece here. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu he sees these two Jews fighting one with another. So it says Vayar, and then before that he sees an Egyptian that's striking a Jew. Vayar ish mitzrima ke ish avri me'achav. He sees an Egyptian striking an Ish Ivri from his brothers. So this, they quote in the Sefer Yitur Torah from Yosef Ber Salavechik. I assume it's the Rav. I don't think it's the Beis Halevi. He says that in Egypt, there are these people who deluded themselves, that in Egypt there are liberals that are first and foremost Anashim, like mention. In other words, they're liberal, you know, like in the westernized mode of things. And on the other side, these people who were like the assimilationists thought that the Jews also have to be Anashim. In other words, be a Western liberal man, and then everything will be good. And with nothing that denotes that you're a Jew. In other words, to assimilate and to blend in with the environment. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that this Ish Mitzri, Ish he figures is like the liberal. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw this Ish Mitzri, this liberal, nevertheless, he says, he's striking the Jew. And who's he striking? Ish Ivri. In other words, like the Jew who's taken on this liberal, you know, outward appearance and is adopting Western ideas. So the Ish Mitzri is striking the Ish Ivri. And he says, it's Ish Ivri Me'achav. When it comes to Makot, when it comes to harm, it's at the end of the day, what's the key is Me'achav. The Egyptian doesn't distinguish between a Jew who's a believing Jew or a Jew who's like a denies Yiddishkeit. This is Ish Ivri Me'achav, the Jew he wants to get. And then it says, Vayifen Kobacho Vayar Kien Ish. He looked this way and that way, so there's no Ish. When it comes to Jews, like this, you know, some sympathetic attitude towards people disappears. He says, therefore, Vayachar HaMitzri, he says, it doesn't say Ish, Mitzri Stam, that was a Goy. In other words, so Moshe Rabbeinu strikes the Goy. That's the way that goes. All right. Now, he quotes over here, he quotes over here that there are three incidents with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first incident is he sees the Egyptian striking the Jew, and the second incident is he sees the two Jews fighting, and the third incident is where he chases away the shepherds who weren't permitting the daughters of Yitro to water their sheep. So the first incident is like he sees the Egyptian striking the Jew. Here we understand in particular why Moshe Rabbeinu gets involved. He's saving a Jew from a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is trying to kill him. So that's the strongest reason to, you know, intervene. In the second incident with two Jews who are fighting, here the reason for intervention drops down somewhat. He says the sakana is much less. One Jew, he figures, is not going to kill the other Jew, and but nevertheless he gets involved. In the third incident, where he gets involved with Benot Yitro, so it's not a serious incident. In other words, it's just an incident between non-Jews and non-Jews, and nobody's life is in danger. So there's no serious, you know, reason to intervene. Notwithstanding that, Moshe Rabbeinu still gets involved with it. So these three incidents come to teach us, he says here, this is from the Iturei Torah, that when a Karash Baruch Hu chooses a leader for Klal Yisrael, and to give the Torah, it has to be a person who's an Ish Tzedek, and like a person who's seeking justice, and he's Moser himself for Shlemus. And he doesn't say who cites it here, but in Rav Nachshoni's Sefer, he has a similar idea from the Chasam Sofer. So that's just a piece with that. Okay, let me do one other short piece, and I'll open up the floor for some questions, comments, and thoughts. This piece I like. This is from Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasman. It's also quoted in Iturei Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasman was a Baal Musar, and he passed away, I think, around 1970, somewhere around there. So when Moshe Rabbeinu saves the daughters of Yitro, and he chases away these shepherds that didn't want to let them, you know, let their sheep get water. So they come home, and so Yitro says, "Madu mi hartan lavo yom? How come you're home so early?" So they said, "Ish mitzri hislianu mi adaroim, an Egyptian saved us from these shepherds, and he drew the water from us, and everything worked out well." So he says to his daughters, "Ayo, kiren lo v'yochal lachem." Four words, kiren lo v'yochal lachem. Call him and let him eat bread. Let him invite him for lunch. So Rashi brings down, Shami Yisrael Chamikem. Sounds like a good shidduch. You know, maybe he'll marry. He had seven daughters. Maybe one of you will get it. And the way it worked out, that was the way it was. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bishar kiren lo v'yochal lachem, zachu b'nei b'nav yashu b'lishka d'gazit. Because Yitro had said, kiren lo v'yochal lachem, he, Yitro, was Zocha, that his descendants sat as members of the Sanhedrin. They were in Lishkat HaGazit. In other words, because of that, so his daughter married Yitro and, you know, converted, and they all became Jews, and descendants sat in Lishkat HaGazit. So even though Yitro's intent was not totally pure, in other words, he's not like, you know, out of the goodness of my heart, invite you to have lunch. He's interested in the Shidduch. And notwithstanding that, his Sakhar was very great. If he hadn't called Yitro for the meal, so he, Yitro, would remain a non-Jew like he was. And through this massive of Gimel Chesed, he became the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. And why is he called Yitro? Because Sheitir Parsha Achat B'Torah. He gave us an additional Parsha in the Torah. In other words, the Chazal teach us that he had, I think, seven names. So, right, he's called Chovav and Yeter and Yitro. So Yitro, because he added this extra section in the Torah. And now, with one word in the Torah, there are many gufei halachot, and this Komer, he had been a priest for Avodah Zara, he's zochet come on kanfei shechina, tim mechavein, for a whole parsha, like Ladas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's named after him. And that's only because of this dibur, he said four words. So Chazal teaches, veizayir v'mitzah kalach v'chavmura, she'iyat ha'yidea matan schar shal mitzvah. Chazal teaches us that we should be careful with an insignificant mitzvah as much as a great mitzvah, because you can never anticipate what the reward is. And here indeed, Yitro, he just invited him for a meal, and look at all this reward. He gets Moshe Rabbeinu as his son-in-law, and he, Yitro, gets to add a section of the Torah, and his descendants get to be in Lishkat HaGazit. And so it means, like, sometimes, you know, like, you might do a favor for someone, you can't calculate what the dividends will be from that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far? Hey, what do you got for me, Aaron Moshe? Go ahead.
Well, a couple of things. You mentioned yesterday, first of all, the Bali Musa want to bring down that.
Yeah, we can't hear you. We lost sound on you, Arthur.
You hear me now?
Now I hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the Bali Musa bring down that he found two twins in the desert, and the twins were Betya and Tzipora. He gave one to Paroi, and he kept one for himself. that they were twins, that Batya and Sapphira
were twins. But they weren't his biological daughters?
No, they were twins. They were twins that he found in the desert.
Oh.
And what you said about the different names, the Vuv that was added to Yeser, the Vuv that was added to Yeser completes Yud Kei Vuv Kei Hau, because Avraham became Avraham. So you got a Hay from Avraham. Sarai became Sarah, and Hoshea became Yehoshua. So you got a Yud, a Hay, and a Hay. And with
Yes,
you got the Vuv, so you got Yud Kei Vuv.
Okay.
You got all four together.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to add is a beautiful idea from Shemishka. I saw this in the Akdama to Shara Yoru, in his Sefer. He writes that when a person is born, Shemishka says, it's Ani, I want everything. You're born with closed hands. You don't care if mommy and daddy are sleeping at night. You want your diaper changed. You want to eat. You want to sleep. As you grow older, toddlers the same thing, but as you grow older, your Ani expands to become other people. And to be, we say by a baby, it's interesting, by a baby we say, Zeh HaKotn Gadol Yeh. Zeh HaKotn Gadol Yeh, what does that mean? This cotton should be a gadol. How many gadolim are there in the world? So what do you mean, Zeh HaKotn Gadol Yeh? So he brings from this parasha, it says, Vayigdal Anar. The Ramban says in Devon, Vayigdal Moshe. So the second one, Yigdal, is on this world, physically, Vayigdal Anar. Vayigdal Moshe is Moshe grew in his spirituality. He went out to his brothers and he saw. That's the Godel. So when we say Zeh HaKotn Godel Yeh, we know that everybody's not going to be a Talmud Chochma Godel. But when we say Zeh HaKotn Godel Yeh, we want that person should extend himself to other Jews. And that's the Godel. The Godel is the one that cares about other Jews. They say a story over Reb Chaim Brisk. In 1895, there was a fire in Brisk, and many people lost their homes. Reb Chaim went to sleep at night. His wife sees he's not in the bed. He slept on the floor. Reb Chaim slept on the floor. He said that so many people don't have homes. I have to sleep on the floor. I can't sleep in my bed. I have to do something. And that's a gadol. That's what a gadol has to do.
Now, where's the pasuk Vayigdal Hanar? In other words, it says by Moshe, Vayigdal Moshe.
In other words, we have to extend ourselves.
Were you referring to a pasuk where it says Vayigdal Hanar or not?
Oh, it says in Yud.
All right, I'm losing. I can't hear you so clearly. But okay.
It says in pasuk Yud and pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayigdal Hanar, and then it says Vayigdal Moshe.
Oh, pasuk okay. Wait. Okay, I hear. Let me take a look. Let me just take a look.
I think it's a pasuk Yud and pasuk Yud Aleph.
Wait. Let me take a look. One second. Perek Beis.
So the second.
Yes. Vayigdal
Hayeled. Vayigdal Hayeled. And the other is Hayeled. And then it says Vayigdal Moshe. Okay, I got it. Now that's from Reb Shimon Shkop. And where'd you see it? In which sefer?
Shara Yoyra. In the Akdama.
Okay.
Dumber to the safe.
Okay. All right. Now, let me just mention some other.
Actually, I think Malka Ismach is they go back to Reb Shimon Shkop.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let me just say some few things from the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, so in the parsha it says Vayelech Ish Beit Levi, Vayikach Bat Levi. So it says Vayelech, a man from Shevet Levi went and married a woman from Shevet Levi. So Chazal teaches us this was Amram with Yocheved, and he marries her. So Rashi says Parusha Yamimena Nigzira Paro V'Chazar L'Kacha. He had divorced his wife and then he remarried her. That's what Rashi says. What is Vayelech? He went. Doesn't mean he went from point A to point B means he followed the Eitza from his daughter Miriam. In other words, he was married to Yocheved. Then he saw this terrible gzeira that Paro had decreed. He said, there's no time. We don't want to bring children to the world. Everybody is divorcing their wives. And then he divorces the wife. Then we'll see in a minute. So he says, Shalach bat sabito sha'amrlo gzeira chakasham mishal Paro. So Miriam said, your gzeira, what you're doing, you're worse than Paro. So Paro gzeira l'scharim. Paro's gzeira is only to the male children. V'yata gam kenal kevod. You're creating a situation nobody's going to be born in the world. Zero. So as a result of Miriam's Eitza, so Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And then we had ultimately the salvation of Klal Yisrael. So similarly, the Chafetz Chaim says, you see, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there's a famous Gemara in Brachot on Daf Yud that Chizkiyahu didn't want to marry because he saw in Nevuah that he's going to have a son, Menashe, who's a big Rasha. So, you know, so remember, it says in the Navi, and the Gemara mentions in Brachot that Chizkiyahu got very ill, and he was like mortally ill, and Yeshayahu, who's his first cousin, comes to visit him. It's like the rabbi's coming to visit the person he's sick, and Yeshayahu says to him, "Sav levet chakimo tamot," like, you know, draft up your will, you're gonna die. It's like so reassuring. You get this thing. So he says, "What's going on?" So he says, because you didn't fulfill the mitzvah period of Arivia. So Chizkiyahu, he davens, and then Hashem saves him. So he ends up having Menashe. So he says, so he didn't want to have Yishayahu come to him, and Yishayahu said to him, it's a famous line, Bari kavshei d'rachman alamalach, why is it your cheshbon what a Kadosh Baruch was going to do? And your cheshbon is to follow the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have children. And what are you making all these cheshbon? You see Baruch HaKadosh, he's going to be a Rasha. He says, so he listened to the Eitza. He got married. And his grandson was Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was a very good king. We read about Yoshiyahu, the Haftorah, on Pesach, in Pesach of Yoshiyahu. And it says concerning Yoshiyahu, lo kam kamo bach rav lo yeh kein. There was no king like him beforehand or nor after him. So from here we can see from all in Yanim that, you know, we can't analyze this with our seichel. Those aren't the ways with Darche Hashem. Man just sees la'inayim. He just sees like superficially. He can't see the nistarot. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the nistarot. So he mentions in the footnotes, he says that once the Chafetz Chaim heard sort of like bad information about one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva, that they want to make a shidduch with this Talmud. And but the woman, she's holding off and something like that. So his friends in the yeshiva were advising him that the beard has got to go. That was the Eitzah. He's got to get rid of the beard. So this is before they had electric shavers. So before they had electric shavers, they had like this salve that they would apply to the skin and the hair would fall out. And that would be the way to do it. So advising him to do it that way. So the Chafetz Chaim apparently didn't like this whole Eitzah with taking off the beard. So he invited him to come to his house. And he began to speak about shiduchim. He said, what is a shidduch like? It's like a locomotive pulling all the train cars. He says, it has 100 cars behind it. And so the train is having difficulty ascending the mountain. The locomotive is having difficulty pulling all the cars up the mountain. So one chacham says, you know what? Why don't you get out and push on the train? So it's ridiculous because the people said to him, you know, he had this idea. So the people said, ridiculous. He says, you know, like, what is your koach, you know, to push the train equal to, you know, like the locomotive? You know, you're like a mosquito with a shore. You have an ox and a mosquito, you know, trying to pull things up. So he says the same thing is with Shiduchim. And Shiduchim is a hakraz and shemayim. It says, you know, 40 days, kodem yitzirat vlad. Now, I think the pshat on that is at the time of conception, because yitzirat vlad takes place 40 days after birth. So 40 days before, so at conception, there's a gzera. So nevertheless, it's like kriyas yamsuf. All right, now he has a piece. He's got more about the shiduchim and things like this, but I think I'm going to leave out with the shiduchim here. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I said so far? Welcome, Mark. Nice to have you with us. Anyway, now, All right, so I'm going to, if there's no other questions, I'm going to do another piece or two from the Chafetz Chaim, and then we'll do some from Rav Simon, okay? So there's another piece in the Parsha. It says, where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you had mentioned this section in the Torah before, Fern and Ruth. Where did Ruth go? She was here a minute ago.
Cindy.
No, Ruth was here also. Cindy had mentioned it, but I think I saw Ruth with here. No, anyway, so the or maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, so he says that. So Hashem says, "Shal nal chamei araglecha, take your shoes off of your feet. Ki amakom ashtam midalav mat kodesh, the place where you at is a holy place." So the Chafetz Chaim says a person shouldn't say l'she'ef ne'eshna. When I have more time, I'll study lots of Torah. He says everybody thinks, when Hashem is markiv my gvul, when my financial situation will eventually improve, you know, and I become a multimillionaire, I'll sit down and then I'll devote myself to Torah. Then I'll study Torah and mitzvah. But right now, I have to work at A, B, C, D. I don't have this luxury. He says, so the pasuk says, ki amakom asher ata omed alav, meaning the place that you're in right now, hamakom asher ata omed alav, the place that you're at right now, he says, that's kodeshu. Means the Ritzon Hashem wants your avoda from this place, that there was the situation you're in right now. And Chazal teach us in the Medrash Rabbah on Shir Shirim, halamoy tor b'tzar no tel elef b'scharo. If a person learns under difficult circumstances, he gets like elef b'scharo, like 1,000 dinarim for his schar. Shlo b'tzar, he gets 200, meaning that if two people are studying a daf yomi, doesn't mean they get the same schar. One person who's juggling a million things and they push away, you know, all of their, you know, issues to study, they get greater reward than a person who's like living at ease. So so that's a piece with that. You know, I'll mention also, you know, the Rav Simon had an idea about this in the Shir, and but there's something that I've seen. It's from the Rashash. The Rashash is Rav Shmuel Strashon. He was a wealthy person in Europe. And he met the Nesiv when Nesiv, in other words, Rashash was much older than the Nesiv. So the Nesiv was not wealthy. The Nesiv was Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, and he became the Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. So the Nesiv, I don't know if there was like a question, whatever, but the Nesiv came up with the answer like this question, and the Rashash was surprised that he hadn't thought of this idea. So he says, how come you thought of it? I didn't think of this. So the Nesiv said, he says, your learning is just like out of wealth and comfort. He says, like, my learning is like through difficulty. So there are more mayanot ha-chachma, more like springs of chachma that spring forth when a person is learning like in difficulty. And that's why, and the Rashash mentions him, I have to find a location in one place. In his Peirush, he mentions the Nesiv. So that's the idea. All right, now let me just do one more piece from the Chafetz Chaim, then I'll open up the floor again. So in the pasuk it says by Bat Paro, it says Vatishlach Ramata V'tiyachea. So the daughter of Pharaoh sees the crib floating in the water. What's the word? Not crib. What? How do you say the crib is the right word? How do you say like the teva? How do you translate that word? Anyway, she sees the
crib. I thought it was a basket.
Oh, the basket. Okay, so she sees the basket floating in the water, and it says Vatishlach Ramata V'tiyachea. So the pshuto shemikra is she sent forth her handmaiden. Her ama is her handmaiden, but Rashi brings down from the Gemara Masechet Sota Amatayada. Ama is like your arm, like the ama is the arm. She sent forth her hand, and Chazal teach us that her hand like miraculously expanded, and she was able to grab the crib. So the Chafetz Chaim says, even though the daughter of Paro knew how long the hand is, in other words, the basket is, let's say, 20 feet away. She sees the basket in the Nile, so she knows my hand can't reach the basket. Nevertheless, she extended her hand and to get it. And because she did that, like a miracle occurred, and she was able to save it. So in the same way, the Chafetz Chaim says, a person, you know, shouldn't hold back from making efforts, even though based on his analysis, he doesn't have enough to be made seal or to do things. He says that you do what you can and then the Hatzalah will come. And he says, you see by Yehoshua as well. In other words, Hashem, he does the nais after you've done your hishtadlus. So if you don't do your hishtadlus, Hashem's not going to do any miracles for it. So he says that in Yehoshua, it says, Vayhi kenoach kapot raglei kohanim nosei aron Hashem, adon kol aretz b'mei yardein, miyardein yichritun. Like when the feet of the kohanim, you know, plop on the ground in the water, then the waters will split. In other words, Hashem looks. So a lot of times in life, you know, people say, why bother with this? Why bother with that? Like, you know, like you're building a shul, building a yeshiva. You know, it's impossible. Everything's always impossible. But, you know, when you begin and then things come up, you know, you do and then people show up and maybe a donor shows up and things and this, that, the other. And you're able to accomplish more than you would have anticipated initially. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Yeah, what do you got
for me? Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Aaron Moshe, then you, Fern. What do you got?
Go ahead.
Okay, Fern, then Aaron Moshe. What do you got?
I always figured with that Rashi with the Amma,
yeah,
that she must have thought it was closer to her than it was. What Egyptian woman would think that her arm would be extended?
No, but it means like you could say, like, just working within this, it's obviously a medrash from Chazal, but working within the medrash, like she sees it and like you know, like you feel like extended, you know what I mean? Like, I want to do what I can, you know what I mean? Like, you could hear that, like, people, you know, want to do something like that. All right, but you want to say that she thought it wasn't that far away. Yeah, that's not the way the Chafetz Chaim understands the medrash. Okay, what do you got for me, Aaron Moshe?
No, what she's saying, Fern, some of them are thinking that she was in the middle of Geirus,
the daughter of Paro.
So I saw some.
Right. I think she. And therefore what?
So why not? And therefore, she said no Egyptian woman. She wasn't. She was already in between Binga Yida.
All right. Okay.
The other thing is that
why was she converting before Moshe shows up?
She was already had that feeling of becoming a Yid.
With those slaves?
Don't forget, she was the twin sister of a supplier. The other thing is they say that we learned in Saita that the Rosh Leilam pays Mida Keneged Mida. So the idea of that Miriam waited by the Yam to see what
was happening.
She got paid back later.
Right, Chazal teaches that, right? Yeah. Remember Chazal, that Klal Yisrael waited for her after she was with Sarai. Right.
So the Bali also bring down that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam pays back for a good thing.
Many times over, yeah.
No, 500 times over.
Right.
So if you figure out, let's say it took her 20 minutes. The cheshbon is if she goes 20 minutes.
Right. There's a Tosos over there in Sota, and he makes the cheshbon.
500 times 20 minutes comes out a few minutes more than 500 times. So it's like, yeah, the shadow over there. What does that mean? The few minutes more was the running back and forth to her mother to tell her what happened. So it actually comes out 500 times. Paid back. All of Klal Yisrael waited a week is 500 times for her time sitting there watching what was going on.
All right.
Also, yeah. Because she had, the big thing is, she didn't have Yiddish.
Right.
That's the big thing. She wasn't the Irish. She always was hoping for the best.
Okay.
She had,
okay. Yeah, among Hasidim, that's the most important thing, not to make Yiddish. All right. Now let's take a look.
The rest of us can give up.
No. But I'm saying among okay.
Even if you lose the election, you know.
All right. Let me go on. Now, there's a piece here from Rav Simon. He says that in life, people are like very busy with different things. And the Tzadah Shava is like everybody goes from one project to another project. But unfortunately, because of all the work, so a person forgets that he has a chova to like stop periodically for hitbonanut. Hitbonanut, this is like from the Bali Musar. This is like in other words, the Bali Musar say the most important thing is introspection, that a person has to pause and think things over. And to weigh them, am I doing everything properly? I mean, the ideal is, and if you're on a certain level, so each night before you go to sleep, you say to yourself, what did I do today? In other words, just 1 minute. In other words, I got up at this hour. What did I do the whole day? You know, I spoke this way to this person. Did I speak correctly? Should I have done better? Should I do this, that, the other? So it's clear, though, that without hitbonanut, a person can't calculate whether he's fulfilling his chova in this world, his obligation. So everybody has an obligation to have some time of hitbonanut. Now, Rav Simon says the best time is when you're not working, like on a Shabbos or a Yontiv. And he quotes, he says from one of the Sifrei Chassidus, and I've heard him quote this before, he says, b'yoma Shabbat yarechenu. So it's talking about the lechem apanim, that the lechem, we just had this in Daf Yomi, right, about the lechem apanim that was arranged on the Shulchan on Shabbat. But the way this Hasidic Rebbe understands it, b'yoma Shabbat yarechenu, that yarechenu can mean to evaluate something. In other words, on the day of Shabbos, yarechenu, you'll evaluate, you'll take a cheshbon, like, are these things good or bad? So that's the time for hitbonanut, and to be marich, and his cheshbon in this world. If, in other words, is he matzliach to serve Hashem properly? So the Sfarim bring down that this is one of the ikarim in Galut Mitzrayim. Beside the shibud aguf, the physical enslavement, there wasn't any time for hitbonanut. And he says, this is what the goal of Paro was. He says, don't give tevin, don't give straw to them. Let them, in other words, they have too much free time. Keep them working. In other words, and that was tichbad ha'avodah, the ayishuba divrei shaker, let them not have time to focus. Let them not pay attention to lies. So Rashi says, they have too much time talking about spiritual things. Let's keep them working. He says, so he quotes from Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim says that Inyan hazehirut hu sheadam nizhar b'masav inyanat klom mitbonen v'kecha masav d'racham. A person should, analyzing are his actions good? And then I'm skipping obviously parts here, but he says, "V'holeich be'olamo bli hitbonanut im tova darko im ra'ah." If a person goes through this life without hitbonanut, without introspection, he's like a blind person walking on the edge of like a river. He says, "Asher sakana tova dayatsuma." His danger is tremendous. It's more likely he's going to end up in the problems than get successfully navigate the path of life. So, so everybody, it sounds so simple, but if everybody looks in their own life, but if you ask yourself, how much time have I, closed the door and focused on what I want to accomplish in this world and what my deeds are like and where am I going in this world? You know, the Mesillas Yesharim also says that a person in this world is like a susrats, like a swift horse. So the swift horse, he runs from this point, and he goes to that place, and he goes to that place, so the ask to a person, what, like, everybody's busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So yeah, but what's the master plan? What are you ultimately trying to accomplish? So a person never has time to think about it. So he says, that's the tachbula of the Yetzirah. That's the plan of the Yetzirah. He says to be machbid avod on a person. Keep the people busy. Work. Oh, I gotta do this motion. I gotta buy this food. I gotta pay the mortgage. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta call my mom. I gotta call my dad. Blah 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 blah. I have no time to think. So he says that a person shouldn't have any time for hitbonanut, because if a person would have time for hitbonanut, so they would, reassess their route in life and change things and have charata over a lot of different things. And that was the Eitz of Paro, Tichbad HaBudal and Hashem. He was coming, they shouldn't have any free time. And that's what the Navi says, Sim levav chem al darachechem. And Shlomo Melch says, anyway, you get the idea with these psukim and things like this. And Chazal teaches in Gemara Moed Katan that if a person, analyzes where he goes in this world, he's Ochavroa Bishuato Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right, let me pause for 1 second. I think our emotion's been chopping at the bit. Did you want to say something, our emotion, or are you good?
I got a lot of stuff, but
just to one of what I was saying, and not other stuff in the Veltarine. I'm saying related to what I just spoke about.
What you were saying was to make a cheshbon on nefesh every day. make a cheshbon nefesh, mezboninus, what am I doing? And so on. So the Rebbe, so they once, a guy once came to the Rebbe Meilach, and he said, I'm too poor, I can't do this, I don't have enough money. So he says, go over to this Rebbe, and he'll help you out. So he sent him to his brother, the Rebbe.
Reb Zusha.
Reb Zusha.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so the
nothing. He had a mud floor.
Okay, you're saying he must have
sent you to the wrong guy. Nothing's wrong.
Yeah, I can't hear you, Aaron Moshe. The sound went out, but I know the story. It's like he sends him to Reb Zusha, and he's poor. He's saying Tehillim in front of an oven, and he says, the Rebbe sent me to ask you, how to deal with difficulties. He says, I don't know why the Rebbe sent you to me. I've only had good things in this world. Okay, that's the way I remember the story. All right,
here is the Rebbe Zisha used to say every day, I'll be better today, Rabbi Shlomo. If I was bad yesterday, I'll be better today. And he always used to say, we say, when will my ma'isim come to the ma'isim of the Avos? So he used to say, when they'll come to the ma'isim of the Avos, but when will they come to the ma'isim of Zisha? Maybe, when am I going to be what Zisha is supposed to be?
All right.
So every day he said, I'm bad today, I'll be good tomorrow.
All right. I got to go on. Okay, now let me go on. Okay, now. So he quotes from the Medrash Rabbah that the Gzeira of Tichbad Avodah was, he was addressing himself like Klal Yisrael would rest on Shabbos, and on Shabbos there would be Osek in Yanei Emunah. So the Medrash brings down near Pimheim Al Kain Nehim So Kimli Mor Nilchanes Bechal Lo Kenu. So he says Lamecha Yubidam Megilot Shemushtasha Mehem Shabbat. Mishabbat l'Shabbat, that it teaches us that Klal Yisrael had Megillot, scrolls, that they would delight in studying these scrolls from Shabbos to Shabbos. He says, and to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would redeem them. So he says, so Paro said, they need more work, and Ba'al Yehu Nefishim B'Yom HaShabbat, I don't want them resting on Shabbos. So it comes out that when they're resting on Shabbos, they were able to save some time for it bonanut and to be mechazik themselves in a moon and a kadosh baruch hu. So Paro goes there, I don't want them resting on Shabbos. So he quotes from the Sefer Emet Liako by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He says that we don't see any place what these Megillot were. In other words, the Medrash says they were studying these Megillot on Shabbat, these scrolls. We don't see what they are. But he wants to say, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wanted to say, that if we look at the Perek in Tehillim, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, that's Tehillim Tzadi Beit. So he says that there's nothing in that Perek that mentions anything about Shabbos per se. He says, in Punk Faker, at the end of the Mizmor, it says, La'gid ki ashar Hashem tzuriv lo v'la tabo. It says that I should relate that God is righteous. And so that's nothing l'chora to do with Shabbos. So he says this Mizmor, he thinks, was one of the Megillot that they delighted with on Shabbos in Mitzrayim, that after Paro agreed to the request of Moshe Rabbeinu that he should give Klal Yisrael a day off, Moshe Rabbeinu chose Shabbos, and he was beside that they should gather and study these Megillot. All right. Now, if you look at the Parsha, after the Gezerah, with Paro of Tichbad Avodah, so now they no longer had Hitbonanut. Now they no longer had this period of time of introspection. So he says, then you see that there's a change in their attitude in Klal Yisrael right away, that they weren't, Mesugal to hear Devar Hashem. They weren't, they weren't able to listen to the word of God, and that's what it says in the pasuk by Debir Moshe Kina Ben Yisrael Lo Shemu Moshe Mikutz Ruach V'Lachsha. So he says that the choshter and the shmiya, like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, is after the gzeira of Tichbad Avodah. In other words, Klal Yisrael, they don't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu after the gzeira of Tichbad Avodah, increased the work, so now they don't have time to study. They don't want studying the Sfarim on Shabbos. And then it says, "V'lo shamu Moshe." They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu mikotzer ruach. So Rav Simon says it's important limud. You see the big hevdel, the big distinction between a person who has time for itbonanut, And that person is like he's able to listen to Dvar Hashem, and the person who doesn't have moan for it, bone to it, he's in the bechin of lo shamu al Moshe mikosa ruach. All right. Anybody want to say anything? Good. All right. I'm going to go on. Now, he says with this, here's a little piece for you, Aaron Moshe. So he says that the Baal Shem Tov says that what's Galus Mitzrayim? So he quotes from the Todos Yaakov Yosef. He says, the Todos says, I heard from my Rebbe, meaning the Baal Shem Tov, Galut Mitzrayim was Chasim Yehamadad, Shidul Akriya. In other words, the Galus was not having the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs and controls everything. So that was the Galus. And he quotes from the Maori Naim by Rabbi Menachem Nachum Chernobyl. The Twerskys are descendant of Rabbi Menachem of Chernobyl. And in our shul, we have Bert Cohn and Rabbi Dr. Lieber Cohn are his descendants, and Mark Twersky in the Great Neck Synagogue also from that family. So he says that Galus Mitzrayim was like this idea of like a Galus Das. So he connects this to the Gemara in Masech Ketubot. It says on Daf Kuf Yud in Ketubot, Koladar Be'eretz Yisrael Doma Kemisha. So first, Chazal teach us that by Yam Suf there was a Kitrug, that the Malachim says, why are you saving the Jews? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I can't tell the difference between the two groups of people. The Egyptians are idolaters, the Jews are idolaters. So the Sefer Maori Naim says that he wants to say that they weren't really like Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the typical sense. He says that Chazal teaches Kuladar Be'eretz Yisrael Doma Kemish L'Shloka. If a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's like he has a god. He says Kuladar Be'chutz La'aretz Doma She'en L'Shloka. It's like he doesn't have a god. So then he quotes from Marg L'Bapume the Rab Al Shem Tov, Nishmato begins a Meromim, like the Baal Shem Tov would say. It says V'sartem V'vatem Elohim Acharim. It says in Kriyat Shema that you'll deviate and you'll come to worship other gods. When you're sartem babatem elohim acharim, as soon as you deviate from Hashem, you worship other gods. What does it mean? Because the ikar das is to understand that all my kochos and chius is from a kadosh baruch hu. In other words, whatever I do is coming from a kadosh baruch hu. Everything that takes place, you know, I invest money on the stock market, that's from a kadosh baruch hu, and I can make money, that's from a kadosh baruch hu. I have a business opportunity to make money, that's from a kadosh baruch hu. So as soon as a person deviates from that thought, means like, or moves away from that attitude, so he becomes like an Oved Elohim Acherim. In other words, he has an idea that other kochos are enabling these things, other forces, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that sense, he's deviated. He's like an Oved Avodah Zarah. He says he's losing the das that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, Kol Adar Be'eretz Yisrael. Dar Be'eretz Yisrael means that the artsyut, the materialism, the gashmiut, I realize that all things are like from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's Yisrael. In other words, if I have that attitude, Kul Adar Be'eretz Yisrael, in other words, that I live, that the artsyut, the materialism is Yisrael, that I'm like a Ben Yisrael, like it's Re'ulish Yisrael, that I have this das, then it's Doma K'mishesh L'Oloka. If I'm Dar B'chutz La'aretz, I don't have that attitude anymore, then it's like I don't have a God. So he says in Mitzrayim that was the Galus. In other words, so it doesn't mean that they were mamish idolaters, but their belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu had deviated a little bit. In other words, that they didn't have the full recognition that everything is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea is that Galus Mitzrayim was a Galus Hadas. In other words, not just like Galus, like that you're being in servitude, but Galus Das. In other words, like your thinking is all for krumpt. All right, now, he says we see this idea of hitbonanut by Moshe Rabbeinu by the sneh, by the burning bush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him by Yomer Moshe Asura Navi Red Amaragadol Maduli Yavar HaSneh. So Sforno writes Asura Na, I'll go off and see et bonain ve'ereh. I'll contemplate what's with this burning bush. So he's seeing that Lamar Moshe Rabbeinu, he had this aspect of hitbonanut. So the yisod is that everybody, we always have to like break off a period of time. You know, And especially before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's sort of like, you know, we say it, but I don't know, everybody speaks for themselves, but you know, if we ask ourselves, how much time do I take where I like close the door? Like one of my Rebbeim, Reb Braunschweig, would say that this is before Rosh Hashanah, like to have a period of time where I close the door and make a cheshbon, what do you want to accomplish this year, things like this. But how often do we do that? How often do we really do that? Now, he brings down, I think you'll like this, Aram Moshe, he brings down some words from the Admor, Reb Hirschel from Spinka. It's brought down the Sefer Menuchah Nefesh. He says that, a person has to be kovei a time for it bonanot. He says, subleiben in base medrash, finif minuten nachem davenen, izuzach trefen mitzayin eganim nefesh. I don't need to translate for Aaron Moshe, but I will translate for others. He says, so in other words, to wait 5 minutes in the base medrash after davening to encounter one's own self. In other words, that's what a person has to do. In other words, like after you're done davening, he's saying, sit down for 5 minutes and think things through. So the pasuk says, "Kimei sitcha mir sirma erenu niflaot," like the day you exited Egypt, I'll show you niflaot. That just like through the God's Moshe was through Moshe Rabbeinu that brought Israel to the bechinat hitbonanot, so too we also have to mechazik ourselves for hitbonanot. So then he quotes from the Bala Turim. Now this I think you'll also like, Aaron Moshe. Yisrael habaim is rashi tevot and sofei tevot mila. In other words, Yisrael habaim. So the first letter is yud, Yisrael. And the next letter in Habaim is a hey. So, and then that's the first two letters. Then the Sofei Tevot are Yisrael is a Lamed, and the Habaim is a Mem. So Mem Yud Lamed Hey. I have Mila there. So he says Eight Yaakov Ish. So that's Sofei Tevot Shabbat. Was this is from just the Bala Turim. He says, in other words, so I have Mila. It says, "Ve'ela shmo b'nei Yisrael habaim Mitzrayma eight Yaakov ish." So habaim, so Yisrael habaim is Mila, first letters and last letters, and then eight Yaakov ish sofei tevot. Eight is Taf, Yaakov Beis, ish is Shin, is Shabbos. So I have Shabbos and Mila. Shabbos and Mila mentioned the same pasuk to take us that for Shabbos and Mila, that Klai Yisrael observed in Mitzrayim, they were redeemed. And based on his words, Rav Simon wants to say, Shabbos is the time for Hitbonanut. In other words, that was B'yom HaShabbat Yerachenu, that Shabbos, you have more time for Hitbonanut. And Mila, the mitzvah Mila is Mesir, the Orla Guf, and Orla Lev. In other words, there's an Orla, the Orla is like a piece of skin, but it's like the barrier. So there's an orlat aguf, but there's an orlat alev. In other words, I, you know, like the Navi says, Basroti, you know, what is it? Orlat lebavchem, what is it? I'll take off the orla from your heart. I can't remember. But anyway, but the point is, a person, so he wants to say that...
the mother's heart while she's watching.
Well, that's something else. He says, so through the koch of it bonanot, in other words, on Shabbos, you have the koch of it bonanot, and with the Mila, you're removing the orlat alev, you know, so you'll be able to think through everything. Anyway, so, and turn your path. Okay, let me just summarize everything we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll see how much time we have for other things, okay? So the idea was, in this piece, that everybody needs to do hit bonanot, to have introspection. And we said that he quotes B'yom HaShabbat Yarechenu, that on Shabbos is a good time for Hitbonanut, Yarechenu, to evaluate, you know, where you are in life and how things are doing. And Paro tried to take away the time for Hitbonanut. He said, you know, Tichbad Aleim Avodah, like increase the work on them, and they won't have time to for Hitbonanut. And then we quoted from Mesillas Yesharim, if a person goes through life without Hitbonanut, he's like a blind person walking by the riverbank. More likely he's going to run into problems than make it through safely. Because without Hitbonanut, you're not able to make this whole cheshbon, which you need to do. And then I mentioned also about the being like a susras, like this, like the Mesillas Yesharim also mentions, like you're like the swift horse that's running from point A to point B to point C. I think, unfortunately, too many of us are like that. That's our whole days. We're busy, but like, you know, I'm going to dominate and do this, but not really no Hitbonanut. And then we saw from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says, what was like the quotes in the Medrash that the Klal Yisrael would be Mishtasheya, would delight on Megillot on Shabbos? What was Megillot? So he says, he thinks, doesn't say, but he thinks it's like Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbat was one of the Megillot that they would focus on. And the essence of that is like Yidki Asher Hashem. And then we see that once they stopped having Hitbonanut, V'lo Shamu Al Moshe Mikotze Ruach. Once they didn't have Hitbonanut, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to hear, we're busy, you know, like that. In other words, when you take away the Hitbonanut, so people can't listen to even like the greatest of Gedolei Torah, the Moshe Rabbeinu. And Galus Mitzrayim, we mentioned from, or he mentioned from the Baal Shem Tov and from the Sefer Maori Naim, was really a Galus of Das. In other words, like this, you know, this idea of like having complete faith in Hashem and then understanding everything's from Hashem, that they moved away from that. And that was the galus, and that's v'sartem v'avadtem Elohim Acharim. In other words, we deviate from belief in Hashem, and that's like the Medrash Halalu Obdei Avodah Zarah, that Klal Yisrael, they weren't, not that they were idolaters, but their amunah was like a little bit off. And then we said Moshe Rabbeinu headed Bonanut by the snare. And then at the end, we quoted this line from, or he quoted the line from Reb Herschel from Spinka. He says, you know, you have to wait like 5 minutes in the basement after davening to have Hitbon, to meet your own self. And then we said about from the Baal HaTurim, Yisrael HaBaim, that's Rosh HaTevot Sofei Tevot Milo, Eid Yaakov Ish Sofei Tevot Shabbat, that, you know, on Shabbos I have to have the Bonanut, and the Mila is like to remove the Orlat Labavchem, to remove that barrier in the heart, and then that enables me to do it Bonanut. Okay, what do you got? Let me hear from everybody who wants to say anything. Ara Moshe, you want to say something? What do you got?
So one of the things that I wanted to say is that you were talking about realizing that the Ribono Shel Olam is with you all the time. The name that the Ribono Shel Olam gave to Moshe is very odd. What name did he give him? Eyah She'eyah. He told him Eyah She'eyah. Why didn't he use one of the other names that he has? He has so many different names. What is this Eyah She'eyah? So they want to bring down, the Baalei Mussar bring down that Eya Asha Eya, Eya is Gematria to 21, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Eya Asha Eya, 21 times 21 is equal to Gematria to 441, is a Gematria to MS.
Wait, 21 times 21 is 442. Is that right?
No, 21.
I'll tell you in a minute. Wait. 441. 441 or 442? 441. Okay, I'll take it. 441.
It can't be 441. It has to be 20 times 20 is 400, right?
Right. He said 21 times 21. How much is 21? It's 442.
So 21 times 20 would be...
442. Right, 420. And that's what I said, 442. All right, but let's assume it would be
441.
What do you have for 441?
MS.
MS. Yeah, we know with the kolel, they say it counts as one more. Like
441. 21 times 21 is 441.
No. Exactly. No. I think the math is 4.
He's right.
It's 441. Oh, 441? Okay, 441. So it's MS. So it works out well.
I'm an accountant by trade. I don't practice accounting. I'm telling you, it's 441 by word.
Okay.
It's right.
I gotta wish you a good Shabbos. I have to go to my father.
Okay.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
All right.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Vern, I'll see you Monday. So, Chasim, I think also Monday morning at your minyan, when you have it indoors in the future, you should lock the door and see if they'll stay 5 minutes longer. When your minion will be available in the morning.
All right. Did you want to say something else, Aaron Moshe? What?
Yeah, he's saying that the Eya Asha Eya means Chasim Asha Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. You got two Israelis. You got an Israel La'aliya and an Israel Lamata.
Wait, what's the word? I couldn't make out the word. What, Lamala?
It's Aruta.
It's Aruta. It's Aruta. Yeah, okay.
So he's saying the Shel Yad is Lamata. That's why he put on the Shel Yad first. And then the shel roish is what you want. That's the, that the shel roish is more than the shel yah.
All right.
That's
all right.
Lamala. So
all
always
right.
You have to know. And he says the old.
But wait. But how does that relate to the you know, the Shem Hashem? I understand.
Thank you. I'm
going
to go. Shabbat Shalom.
Bye bye, Cindy. Yeah.
Bye. Thanks.
Because the idea is that Chasima Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That's
right.
The Rabbani Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. You always have to be with him. And you always have to think about him. And if you
all right.
Don't,
okay.
Down here, and I, you know, down here and up there.
All so right.
So he's saying that relates to the Shel Yad and the Shel Reish.
All right. All right. All right. So if you want, I could do another 2-3 minutes. I'll just do one or two items, and that'll be it, okay? So now one aspect is the meat of Moshe. This is also from Rav Simon Sefer. Moshe Rabbeinu had the meat of Kvad Peh. He wasn't able to speak so well. They say he had like a stammer, you know? So this whole different Hesberim about why he had it, but one Hesber, Rav Simon quotes from, is that the Gemara says in Masechet Yoma, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yoho Tzadak, Eim Aminim Parasal Tzibor Lemkein Kupa Shel Shratzim Suli Lo Me'achorav. You don't appoint a leader unless he's got like some skeletons in the closet. In other words, Kupa Shel Shratzim is a box of like, you know, Shratzim are the crawling creatures, but they have tumor with them. So he's got that. He's got that over his back. He gets too arrogant. We say, you know, turn around or see what you got behind you. And in order for a person to ascend and take a public position and to remain with the aspect of humility, he has to have a chisaron, some pagam, some flaw in his family or in his body, so that he won't become arrogant. So Kadosh Baruch Hu put that begam in Moshe Rabbeinu, so he'll have this chisaron as dibur, so he can remain an anav. Okay, let me just do one more piece with this. But this Drashat Aran says Moshe was kavad peh, so later generations shouldn't say the reason Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu was a smooth talker. He's like, you know, some people know how to talk, like they could teach you into buying, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge. So people shouldn't think that. So he's Kvad Peh. All right, I think that's it for today. Anyway, thank you all for coming. Let me end the recording and then I'll speak to everybody. One second. Let me end recording.